With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Yoked Up. This is our third episode and we are so excited for this one. We're going to have some fun. We want to first off thank the listeners that we've had so far. Hopefully everybody's enjoying it and I hope everybody's ready for the ride.
Yeah, so just to kind of recap our last episodes, our first episode, we kind of deep dove into what this looked like, what the Lord put on our hearts. And then the second episode, we called it the turning point, and we talked about Chuck giving his heart to the Lord and how that had changed everything and what that had looked like in our marriage. So today we thought we would let you into our story a little bit. If you know us, if you think you know us, if you don't know us, hopefully there's a few people listening who maybe don't even know us. We thought we would just kind of talk about our walk with God, our marriage, who we are, and just kind of deep dive into that a little bit. So you kind of can know who you're listening to. Maybe you can connect with us on some level.
Get a peek through the looking glass, as yeah. They say.
We kind of have some questions wrote down. We're kind of going to go back and forth. Let's dive right in. Chuck, you want to start us off with something?
Okay. Let's start off with, what was it like watching me begin my walk with the Lord?
What was it like watching you begin your walk with the Lord? I think as the wife of someone who was watching this happen, it is very strange. I had told my dad at one point, like, I don't even know who Chuck is right now. Because you go from seeing you as one person, and now you're, like, praying and going to church, and you're using words you've never used, and using phrases you've never used, and quoting Bible terms and things like that. And I think for me, it was kind of like, do I even know who he is anymore? Like, it was kind of strange. Obviously fascinating. Obviously, I'm not, like, rejected by right. it, but, like, it was very strange to watch happen. I think especially, too, for just who you were and, like, who you've always been. I think for a lot of people who, and I don't know that many people, like, from your past know, you know, kind of your transformation now. But if they did, I think a lot of people would be like, oh, my gosh, you know?
Yeah, I think most of the people that do know are people that are currently in my life.
So, yeah, it was very interesting to see. I think at first it's a little bit of, like, sticker shock. To be like, oh my gosh, like, who is that? Like, what is he saying?
Right.
And it's kind of like, I don't know how to, it was a little weird at first, but it's been interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one, like, just kind of fun, relatable. What is the first one to say sorry?
I'm always the first one to say sorry for anything.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it's more along the lines of, I'm still working on, I don't know how to put it, but I just want you to be happy. So if you feel I've done something or I feel I've done something, I'm quick to be like, oh, I need to not have conflict. So
yeah, Chuck's not good with conflict.
No. And as for you, if you do something that you feel convicted about, you got to mull it over for a little while to be like, was I wrong? And then when you realize that you are, that's when you come to me and you're like, I'm sorry.
I think I also have to let my emotions breathe
yes,
for a minute.
Yes.
Yes. So, but I am the first one who always wants it resolved.
You're always the first one that wants it resolved.
I want it resolved.
Yes.
Immediately.
You want it resolved I want it over.
Yeah. And I want it resolved. Right. I don't want to sweep it under the rug. Right. Yeah. And Chuck's like, can we just put this under the rug and say we're sorry?
Right.
Okay. Why don't you do another one, Chuck?
Okay. Let me see. How did that moment impact you personally and spiritually watching me on my walk?
Well, I think spiritually it's affected me more. I've grown tremendously in the time period that you have become saved.
Mm-hmm.
So like before, like just for a small instance, like it would be like, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. But like, you're so gung-ho to go every day because you can go every other Sunday for your work schedule. You're so gung-ho to go every day that I feel obligated to go with you because I never want to be the one that's bringing you down. I never want to be the one that's telling you no. Even this last Sunday, I even told you when we pulled into the church parking lot, I really don't want to be here today. I've had a really, really stressful few weeks and just kind of like mentally have been down. And I even said, I don't want to be here today. But I got in the car and I went with you because I don't want to be the one to bring you down. You're so excited about going. So I think impacted me. It's definitely impacted my walk for sure. I have new convictions I've never had. I have the desire to grow because you're growing and I want to keep up with you. And I have all these new visions of what our marriage looks like that I never had before. So
you had them. You just didn't think they were going to come to fruition.
Yeah. And I think I have even more exciting thoughts now. Right. Like now I'm like, oh, we can do this and we can be this and da 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 da. So I think for me, it's impacted me. It's funny because, I mean, the Bible talks about it, but it's you coming to the Lord has really, really changed my walk tremendously. So it's affected me a lot personally and spiritually, like it just in general, it's affected me a lot. And it's.
Yeah, because before, if you're like, I don't want to go to church, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. I'm like,
let's,
okay.
Let's stay home yeah. and watch football and yeah. play video games.
Yeah. So. I think it's been all around like really good for me. So that's a good question because I think people who are going through that are probably only focusing on the partner that's going through that transformation. But mm-hmm. I think the other partner who's experiencing it is going to go through a lot too. The
thing is like you always got to see it from both sides.
Okay, Chuck, what was the moment that made you realize you needed a relationship with the Lord?
That's a really good one.
It's a deep one.
Yeah. You know I don't like emotions.
We're going to make Chuck cry. He looks like he's going to cry. Now. We're going to make it happen.
Let's see. So I would say that it would probably be... I can't say there was a specific moment. Like, I know that we had a big argument mm-hmm. that was the reason why I never told you for weeks that yeah. I'd been saved. That's not the reason why I did it. It did push me towards it for the fact that there just felt something completely out of balance. And of course, like I said before, is that, you know, me and your dad talked about it all the time. Your dad said he's taking me to heaven, kicking and screaming if you had to. I think it was the fact that I could really feel that something was always amiss. No matter how much we loved each other, no matter how our connection is, there's always something amiss. And I feel that it was the Lord going, I'm the miss. What you're missing is me
mm-hmm.
with, you know, all the things that me and your dad talk about, all the, you know, the songs I listen to, like everything was just pointing me to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just that day that I was like, I need more of a purpose than just being a husband and a father. And I think that, especially now that I've been in my walk, I'm starting to really understand what the purpose is. That is to, you know, lead my family, to truly lead, not just be the man of the house, mm-hmm. but to truly lead my family. And I mean, I'd say that's what really gave me the push.
You don't think it was like one specific moment?
No, I don't think there was a specific moment. It was just one of those. It was a community. It was a bunch of moments. Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. A bunch of moments that pushed me to take that step.
Okay. Cool. That was a good answer. Let's do one together.
Okay.
How would you describe the Torps in three words?
The Torps in three words?
Specifically us, the Torps.
Right. I would say, as of now, it would be...
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. Hardworking.
Okay. Shocking you didn't say anything about the Detroit Lions, because I was going to put that in my top three.
I mean, yes, anybody who thinks of the Torps, I think of the Lions.
I was going to say Detroit Lions, because that's like what everyone associated us with.
Oh, yeah. Now, yes.
Like, they know we love the Detroit Lions. So I'd say Detroit Lions... hardworking and just funny, because mm-hmm. I think we're a funny group.
yes.
I feel like we're always asking the boys, who's funnier, me or your dad?
Always. So. Always. But and it's always a mixed answer each time.
Yeah. So I would say Detroit Lions funny and hardworking.
Well, yeah, I mean if you would have said four, I would have put the Lions in there. But this is a faith-based podcast, so I mean,
yeah.
You left God out of top three. No, that should be there.
That should be there. But I definitely think the Detroit Lions are on there.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody who would think of us would think of the Lions. I mean, we can't go anywhere without how the Lions do this week.
Yeah.
Let's go with who's more likely to start a deep talk at 11 p.m.
Probably me.
100%.
I'm only the one who... I'm the one who initiates all deep talks. Chuck's like, oh, yeah, that's been on my radar, but, like...
Right, yeah.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
Yeah.
But also, I would... It's very rare I'd be doing anything at 11 o'clock.
That's absolutely... I mean...
My bedtime is between 8 and 10.
Yeah, so let's change it. Who would be the first to start a deep talk at 9 o'clock?
Me. It's always gonna be me.
Yeah. No, I'm not a very...
I don't think you've ever initiated a deep talk.
No, I'm not a very high emotional person start something like that.
Yeah, but like I said, if I bring it up, you might be like, oh yeah. It's been on your agenda.
It's been on my mind.
So, but you're not going to initiate it. But
no. I'm not
initiating much after 10 p.m.
No, except for some Z's.
Yeah, I like my bedtime.
That'd probably be another thing people know about you.
What is something God's been teaching you recently?
Patience.
Oh, that's interesting. That's news to me.
Well, I mean, it's because since I said yes... We have been under attack on a constant.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, so that's where it's at is I have to be patient to get through the storms of the season that we're dealing with, you know. If it's not one thing, it's another. I would say patience is probably the biggest one because when I am in something, I want to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be quick about it. I want to be over with it. I want to move on. But I can't be like that. Especially my walk, because it's a lifetime walk.
Yeah.
Like, there is no, like, just get through it. So I think that patience is a big one.
Took's ready to get to the pearly gates.
Hey, I've said from the day one, I'm just waiting for the sweet release of death. So
yeah, but now you go to the pearly gates.
And I'm very happy for that.
Okay. That's
before,
funny.
There was, I didn't know where I was going. So
let's check in on the patience thing in a few months.
Okay. Sounds good to me. What advice would you give to a wife who's praying for a husband to come to faith?
That's a really good question.
Patience.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. But I think patience, but I also think too, just like really sticking firm to continuing your walk and putting your walk first. We've talked about in the past, I had a supportive relationship. Even when Chuck wasn't a believer, he still was very supportive in my walk. And I know that's not the case.
Common.
Yeah. And I was actually listening to a clip from another podcast today, and she was making the comment that her husband told her, like, I don't want to hear about the Bible. I don't want to hear about you going to church. And I do think there's women out there who are going through that. I just want to encourage, and my advice would be, is to continue your walk, continue your prayer, continue to live it out. I mean, I know it's really controversial, you know, getting married and being unequally yoked. I know that's super controversial. I know there's so many Christians who would tell you the Bible says do not do that. But I'm here to say too, there was no stopping me and Chuck getting married. There was some kind of force behind it that was like, it happened so fast, so rapidly. Even though I don't know that we both fully understood what was happening, there was some kind of force that was, it was pedal to the metal, and there was nothing that was going to stop it. And I know the Bible says don't get married to unequally yoked, but I also truly know that the Lord knew Chuck's heart before he did. I mean, he knows us, you know, before we're formed in our mother's womb. So I do truly think that he knew Chuck, and I think that he knew the whole vision and the game plan. And I know that's so controversial to say, but stick it out. Focus on your walk with the Lord. Continue your prayer life, but just focus on your walk and then let it fall into place. And I know that there's a desire to be like, do this, but I think once again, like Chuck said, patience, because
we're 8 years in.
And I mean, it happened so rapidly in my mind because Chuck let the dominoes fall really fast once he got a hold of it. I mean, just continue your walk, continue staying devoted. And I think that for us, you know, my walk, I got deeper in my faith, you know, in the last couple of years. And I think that, you know, really helped grow you. So I would just encourage you to focus on your walk and focus on your growth and not hyper focus on your husband. Yes, pray for him. Yes, obviously you want that. But I would say just stay faithful in your walk.
I think that's fantastic advice. Yeah. Like I said, you know, we've been 8 years in, and if it was one of those things, I mean, you could have gave up a long time ago.
Yeah.
But the fact that you stayed in your faith, stayed in you know, your love for the Lord, you know, I know you had to have prayed for me. Oh, I mean, there's no way you didn't, but you know, it's one of those things where, like you said, patience.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's do a little one for both of us. What's one thing you both can't agree on?
Can't?
Yeah, that we can't agree on.
Oh boy.
Probably for sure the temperature in the house, because we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
I like to be cold.
I say driving.
Why can't we agree on driving?
Because you don't like how I drive, and I think you drive too grandma-ish.
I like to go the speed limit and obey the law.
But
and that's a problem with everyone, apparently.
Yeah.
Everyone has something to say about me driving like a grandma.
For me, I think it's driving. That's the one thing that can set a bad precedence for the day. Just literally just me driving to work. I don't understand
why we can't obey the speed limit signs.
I'm close.
Jen thinks the speed limit sign is a suggestion.
It's a complete suggestion.
I would say the temperature in the house, because you're always like, I'm cold.
I am cold. I'm cold a lot.
Chuck says he's cold, and it's like, we don't even have the air on right now.
Well, what's funny is I used to call our bedroom the, what was it? The
polar vortex.
The polar vortex of death, because you'd have 3 fans going with the AC, and I'm in there literally shivering.
I have a heated blanket on.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be cold.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. How has being the spiritual leader of our house felt? Is it exciting? Is it intimidating? Has it been rewarding at all?
All three.
Oh, okay.
All three. It's exciting because I'm finally taking my place in the Lord's eyes, mm-hmm. where I'm supposed to be. And starting, like I said, you know, I'm starting to lead our family, you know, spiritually. What was the other two?
Exciting, intimidating, or has it been rewarding?
Okay, intimidating is because I've never been that.
Yeah.
I've always been, you know, the guy who just goes to work, brings home the paycheck. You do whatever you need to for the house. And, you know, I just kind of let you go. The fact that now I have to be more in front, you know, it's very intimidating when I'm a very passive person. And rewarding, it's put me out of my comfort zone. It's, you know, it's making me grow as a person spiritually, you know, starting to help with, you know, some confidence problems I had. And I still have mm-hmm. it, but it's helping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's all three.
Do you think it's been encouraging at all for your walk, or
what do you mean?
Like, has it been encouraging to kind of walk that out and see a change to make you want to even further dive in?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yes, it's definitely encouraging because, you know, I mean, the more I get into being the head of the household, being the leader of our family spiritually, it does encourage me to go further because, you know, it's the whole thing. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to do is start moving backwards. You know, it's taken me about 43 years to finally take those steps forward into my faith. Why would I want to start backtracking now?
Yeah.
So, yes, it is encouraging in the fact that the further into my walk, the more I want to keep walking.
Okay, so a side question off of that one would be, I know that I wouldn't necessarily say I have a dominating personality.
You do.
But I do like to be in control mm-hmm. and, you know, girl boss. And like my little sister would call me Batty Slay. Or that's what she says, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
But anyways, so if you are a woman who has been in the role of being a little more controlling, what advice would you have for her as her husband steps into the role of being head of the household?
That's a big one. I don't know. I would say
words of encouragement, I guess.
I would say trust is a big key. Like, you need to trust that they're gonna take care of you. You need to trust that they're gonna make the decisions best for you and your family. I mean, that's the one thing I can say is, if you're used to making all the decisions, you're used to being on top of everything. I think, you know, as you said, that you like to be in control. I think that to be able to relinquish that control, you got to trust your husband and trust in the Lord that the husband's going to lead you the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the only word that keeps coming to my mind.
It's
like,
trust.
Yeah, because I think that some people who are very controlling, I wouldn't say controlling because that sounds bad, main decision makers, how mm-hmm. about that? The reason why they are is because they don't trust that they're being led the mm-hmm. right way. So the easiest way to do that is to take control of it. So that's the only word that can come into my mind is trust.
Okay, yeah. Just a little spin off there. Let's do like a fun one. Let's see. What's one thing you've learned about love that no one told you before marriage? Now, this is a little different because this is my first marriage.
Right.
It's your second.
Yeah.
So I guess you can answer that however you want. I think for me, what's one thing that I learned about love that no one told me before marriage is,
it's hard
to love.
Just love is hard. For the simple fact that the feelings you have at the beginning, they're all infatuation, yeah. blah, blah, blah. You know, love is choosing every single day to wake up and care, protect, provide, you know, all that for your significant other. You know, you see the rom-coms and all that. You know, everything's supposed to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of times that speaking an experience that it gets hard and you bail. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing that I was never told, taught, or anything that I've learned on my own is love is hard, but that's good.
I think for me, something I learned about love is people would always say, oh, I love you so much more than I loved you yesterday. And I'd be like, okay, like
what? I
like,
say that every time you say you love me. I say I love you more.
No, but no, when people say no, not love you more, like I loved you more than I did yesterday. Like people be like, oh, I love you more now than I did when I, you know, whatever. But I don't think you truly understand that until you're in marriage. Like, I think even outside marriage, if you're dating someone, I don't think you truly actually understand that until you are in a marriage, you're devoted, you're in that together. And I think truthfully, like, even in like the midst of our hard times when I'm like, oh, I need to leave, this isn't working, I still sit there and I'm like, man, I love him so much. I can't fathom ever loving anyone as much as I do you. I genuinely think the heartbreak of even in those times where you feel the only thing to do is to leave, still in my mind I always replay like, I love him so much, no one can ever compare to him. So I think that that's something I didn't fully understand or fully grasp, is the longer you're together in a marriage, I do think you do truly love that person more than you did the day before.
Yeah,
even on the hard days.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's kind of what I was saying is, like, whenever you do say you love me, I say I love you more. My whole intention is behind saying that is that I love you more. It's not a competition. I love you more than you love me. It's I love you more than I did 5 seconds ago. I love you more than I did yesterday. I love you more than I did a week ago. So that's when I said that. That's what I mean when I say I love you more. That's what I was getting at is exactly what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's see. This is for both of us. How do you handle spiritual dry seasons or when you're not feeling it?
I think that's a good question.
I mean, that's hard for me to answer because I'm like...
Yeah, you're so into it right now.
Yeah,
I guess it's probably more directed towards me.
I guess it would be, yeah.
I think for the dry seasons or just not feeling it, like lately, like I said, even in the moments I don't feel it, like I'm still motivated by you, where I think that's definitely... something you get when you're in an equally yoked marriage.
So what about before I was, but where you were on
that,
your own?
You know, that's a hard question because I think that's a hard question because it's always something that reels me back in.
Mm-hmm.
So like I was just talking to you about it earlier. The last few weeks, I have been listening to the Taylor Swift album on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I hadn't really listened to secular music a lot. I had really felt convicted about it earlier this year, and I stopped listening to secular music for the most part and was listening to only, you know, worship and things like that. And I started listening to the Taylor Swift album, fell in love with it, been listening to it on repeat. And then later in the week, I found myself listening to other secular music and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, and then it was like, oh, I'm not listening to my Bible plan that week either. And then, oh, here comes Sunday and I don't want to go to church. And then, you know, here comes Monday and I'm depressed and I don't want to go to work and I'm dealing with all these other things. And then it was like, girl, you need Jesus. Like, girl, like you're off the tracks. Like, what are you doing? And I was telling you this earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my goodness. It started with one Taylor Swift album. And then next thing I know, I'm like, I don't want to go to church. I'm listening to rap music again. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, so... I think it's hard. I don't think there's an easy answer to that question. I think there's something that has to reel you back in. And I think for me, I've been really depressed this week and I've had a really rough week. And I was sitting here at home earlier and I was like, man, something's got to give. Like, I can't keep doing this. And then it was like, I was instantly reminded, like, you need Jesus. Like, you need Jesus. Bring it on back, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mood instantly has been uplifted since, you know, I was listening to my Bible earlier and I'm prepping for the podcast and things like that. So, and then my mind's racing with all Jesus stuff. So yeah, I think in those times you just have to figure out what it is that triggers you to come back. But mm-hmm. I mean, those seasons are going to happen. Truthfully, right now, you don't know what that's like, you know? And for me, I think it's always just something that happens that brings me back. So I don't know that I necessarily have a bit of advice in the dry seasons.
So would you say that when you realize that it's a dry season because you've strayed.
It's always a dry season because you stray.
Right. So then what you're saying is when you realize it, get back to Jesus.
Yeah, just go back, because I just deep dove into it. Literally deep dove back into it. Like, when I say I have the most, I've been so depressed and this, that, and the other, like, I have really had a rough week. And today I realized it because, like I said, the last few weeks I've been listening to this Taylor Swift album and I haven't been listening to my Bible and I hadn't been doing my devotionals and all this stuff. And then I thought about it today because I've been having a really bad week. And I thought about it today and I'm like, man, why am I just having, I'm so depressed. I'm this, that, and the other. And then it dawned on me that I had such a spiritual move happen to me on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me, I am under attack and I don't even know it. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was like, this is an attack because I stepped out in faith on Sunday and I did something that the Lord laid on my heart to do. And I spoke out in church and I think it touched a lot of people. I know it touched me. I know that it was something I needed to do. It was very encouraging, but it made me realize today when I was thinking about it, I'm like, girl, you're under attack. He's attacking you because you did something out of faith on Sunday. So I think in your dry seasons, you just got to pick back up. Like, you just got to pick it back up. So I know that's easier said than done, and maybe it's not the best advice. But for me, in my dry seasons, it's like, no, you got to get back to what you know you should be doing. You need to put down the books that you're not supposed to be reading. You need to put down the Taylor Swift album, and you need to get back to your praise and worship and reading your Bible. I know Taylor Swift's a controversial thing, but I like her album.
Yeah. So, I'm not a Swiftie, so.
But I like
and
it.
Please, and please, Swifties, if you're any Swifties listening to this, this is no denigration to her. It's just Cassie.
And I don't have a problem with Christians listening to secular music. I mean, I'm not that way. I'm not like, you have to do this, you have to do that. But it is a personal conviction that I've had this year. Mm-hmm. It is something that I'm trying to overcome. It is something that I feel like the Lord had laid on my heart this year, was to walk away from that type of music. And I had been doing really good. And yeah, like I said, you know, I'm listening to Taylor Swift album. Next thing you know, I'm listening to people I shouldn't be listening to. Mm-hmm. So I think in those dry seasons, you just have to get back to it. You just got to full send and go back to it.
Yeah.
So
I think the hardest part about it is realizing you're in a dry season.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you know, you just, all it started was listening to somebody. Next, mm-hmm. you know, you started trailing mm-hmm. away.
Yeah.
It's about knowing that you're trailing away.
Yeah, like, recognizing it.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, let's just wrap it up with a couple more. So
okay.
This one I think is really interesting. I really want to ask you this. What surprised you most about God when you started walking with him?
That's a good one. This is going to be a weird answer. So I used to, as a non-believer, used to hear people say God-fearing. And I was always like, well, if God's supposed to be all love, then why would you consider yourself a God-fearing Christian rather than a God-loving Christian? Until I started my walk. And now I understand. Because, one, he's our Father. Mm-hmm. He's the Father of all fathers. And I don't know too many kids who don't slightly fear their father. And it's not out of, you know, scaredness or abuse or any, it's literally out of respect, you know. You know, yes, God is all-loving. God is all about love. You step out of line, you know, things happen. So I never, and I always questioned that term, because as a non-believer, it was just weird. Like, why would you be a God-fearing Christian when God's supposed to be all love? But so why wouldn't you be a God-loving Christian? Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's like one of the things that on my walk that I have completely learned as moving forward. It was one of those things I never understood until I started my walk with the Lord.
It's interesting.
I mean, it's just, like I said, it's a weird answer. It's something that I always wondered about, because it was always, like I said, it was always God-fearing. I was always like, that's weird. All right.
Let's wrap it up with an easy one. What's your go-to Jesus music?
Dax. Like, he's made quite a few Christian songs. You know, there's a few that have really touched me. And, well, what's weird is that there's actually the few songs I'm thinking of actually pushed me towards wanting to start my walk.
Not all of his stuff is Christian or anything, right. But he does have some good Christian songs.
Yeah.
I think my go-to is always going to be like Elevation Music. Love all their stuff. Well, I hope that you guys feel like you got to know us a little bit in this episode. And I hope that, you know, something we said encouraged you. For me, it's revealed a lot of stuff about you. So, I mean, I think it's good insight to hear what you have to say as a new Christian.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, sometimes you just got to sit down and ask questions that just to find out. I mean, you don't know where somebody's at or walk without asking questions.
Well, and I think some of the questions we talked about today, like, I would encourage even the listeners to kind of deep dive on how they would answer them, you know?
No, absolutely. Yeah. And in that fact, you know, ask your partners those questions and let us know what the answers are. Like, how you handled it, what you thought, and see, was there profound things that you found out?
Yeah, I think God's teaching all of us, and in some of the things I learned stuff that I didn't know. So,
right.
Okay, well, cool. Well, why don't you go ahead and say a prayer for this episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I've never prayed out loud, so here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we appreciate you giving us the opportunity to spread your word to other people, like-minded people, dealing with the same issues that we might be dealing with. Lord, I appreciate that I get to sit here with my wife and do this together, and so we can be closer to you and to each other. Lord, I thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and I pray that anybody who's listening to this, it helps bring them closer to God in their walk. Lord, I want to pray for everybody out there that they are happy, healthy, successful, and are walking hand in hand with you. Lord, I want to say that I couldn't be happier than finally coming to you. And I want to say that that I hope you look over my children, watch over my wife. And everybody out there listening. In the Lord's name, amen.
Okay, amen. Well, I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us, laughing with us, walking this road of faith and marriage together. I just encourage you guys to share this with someone. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Stay connected with us. And don't forget to follow us. We are on Spotify. We're on Amazon Music. We're on a bunch of other ones that I don't know who uses, but I tried to put us on as much as I could. So, but I think Spotify seems to be the consensus where most people are listening. Share it with a friend, share it with a loved one, and
share it with a loved one, stranger.
Yeah. So we appreciate all the listeners and engage with us. Let us know what you think. Most of all, we just appreciate you for being here. Yeah. We'll see you next time on Yoked Up.
God bless.
Bye.